Now there's an awful lot of the Environmental Protection Agency has created some pretty serious talk among the agriculture community, and certainly with some developers on certain rules. There are a number of things that they're wanting to implement or have implemented recently, and you're in favor of many of these. Is that correct?
Well, this new rule that was announced a month or two ago, which clarifies the scope of the Clean Water Act. We are in favor of that. We're not in favor of a lot of things that that the administration does, but this is one that we certainly are, because we believe it reflects what the original framers of the Clean Water Act intended, and that included a lot of Republicans, not just Democrats. It was a very unanimously supported act. And the reason we think this is important is that, you know, wetlands perform these functions. They absorb water, they slowly release water, they filter water, they recharge aquifers. And we don't want people, you know, getting rid of those, because they perform these services for free. And if you get rid of them, what do we have to do? We have to build infrastructure to basically do the same thing that the wetlands were doing for free, and that's very costly, and not only costly to put it in, but it's costly to maintain it over time. Our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren will all be paying for that infrastructure, when it seems to me it's much more prudent to try to keep as many of the wetlands as we can so that they can do their function. They can maintain in-stream flows for farmers to be able to irrigate their crops and prevent flooding.
One of the things that has created some dissension, I think, among many people, and some developers are having an issue with this wetlands thing that you're talking about, is the uncertainty in some cases. The developers believe that the Environmental Protection Agency is trying to set up a system where if they decide it's a wetland, whether or not it actually is, it becomes a wetland, and that's creating some problems. Agriculture is extended out a little bit beyond that with some other things, but what is your take on that? The developers, you know, the people who develop apartment complexes, et cetera, are a little up in arms about this, because that's their take on this is, if the EPA decides it's going to be a wetland, it's a wetland, and I'm out in the cold.
Well, if they were talking about sort of the way wetlands were determined for 30 years after the act was passed, then, you know, they would have more of an argument. But with this new rule, it's very clear. They set up specific distances between high water marks and floodplains and so forth, you know, 1,500 feet of the ordinary high water mark, and these things that, you know, give you a very clear definition of what's covered and what's not covered. And it's following the Supreme Court this sort of muddled decision back in 2006, which it seems like the sort of the consensus point was that there needed to be some nexus to navigable waterways. And so they set up these very specific distances. And, you know, if you read the rule, you'll see that these are very specific. And so, you know, it's not going to cover, you know, a ditch or a pond that's not, has no connection to anything. It's a man-made structure or something. It's very clear in what it covers. So I think that, you know, they're so used to being opposed to anything EPA does that they can't look at this and take a win for what it is. It still protects the wetlands, but it doesn't go overboard. And you know, to us, that's where we need to be. You know, they had this out last year and they pulled it back and they changed it pretty significantly, so they put in very clear definitions.
One of the things that is another thing along the same lines is the and I don't know how we approach this, either you or me. One of the things that has been problematic to some folks in agriculture, and I'm not saying me necessarily, but I know that there are other groups that have some difficulty with the EPA's lack of clarity on some things. It's been difficult in some cases to get a firm answer on anything from the Environmental Protection Agency, much like any other agency sometimes, not necessarily to pin down the EPA, but sometimes a government entity likes to shuffle and hide a little bit, and that's been one of the things that has created some problem with this Waters of the U.S. rule and anything having to do with wetlands like this is because there seems to be so many, again, I think one of the things that is helpful for anybody, and I would encourage, and I always would anyway, encourage the citizen to actually take a look at something for themselves so that you can, you know, anybody can take an article and read it and find, you know, their own definition in it. And you are correct, certainly, when you say that there are certain people who want to read things a certain way and other people want to read things a different way. But I think there's been a little bit of a disconnect between certainly at least the agriculture industry and the EPA in that the ag industry believes that the EPA is not entirely forthcoming with some of the things that it wants to accomplish. Many in ag still believe that their farm ponds and road ditches are going to be covered under this Waters of the U.S. rule. You're saying that's not necessarily true.
The rule is on the EPA's website, and there's a fact sheet that you can download that says, you know, just had a chart, and it tells, you know, okay, you know, jurisdictional waters are within a minimum of 100 feet and within 100-year floodplain to a maximum of 1,500 feet of the ordinary high water mark. I mean, that kind of specific language is in there. So, I don't know how EPA would get around that specific language. I mean, some people might not trust them no matter what they come up with. But, you know, the thing is farmers, you know, the whole property rights thing of being able to do what you need to on your property, that cuts both ways with this because if you're a farmer and you rely on irrigation from a stream or river and someone upstream, you know, puts strip mall in or fills in a wetland and as a result water runs off faster after storms, then first of all you get flooding from the fast runoff or erosion and then secondly, after all that water runs off when it's been dry for a while, then you don't have the wetlands releasing that water, so you have lower stream and stream flows, which means that you can't irrigate your crops during those dry periods. And so you got to look at it both ways. And you know, since waterways cross all kinds of boundaries, county boundaries, state boundaries, it's hard to know. You know, if it's not EPA, you know, looking out for this and saying, okay, this is going to impact downstream property owners, who's going to do it? I mean, do we want a complete free-for-all where everybody just develops anything they want to and it doesn't matter what happens to the people downstream? I don't think that's a very conservative approach.
Yeah, you may be right. And that's one of the things that one of the issues that many people do have a problem with is that many believe that this should still be a state issue as opposed to a federal issue. How you argue that, because many people believe that the government, you know, lumping everything into one category as the government, is big enough as it is, and that was one of the fears that many in agriculture and rural communities, I believe, have the same type of, same type of fear sometimes in that the government wants to tell us how to run our lives. I don't disagree with what you're saying, but there are many that believe that all of this really should be more a state regulation as opposed to a federal regulation.
Yeah, it's hard to argue that when every river and stream, just about, you know, at least every major river, crosses so many states. I mean, look at whether it's the Mississippi or the Missouri or whatever river you want to, you cross multiple state boundaries, and even in a lot of cases, small streams cross state lines. So, how can the people in one state that's downstream be protected from what's happening upstream? If only the upstream state is in charge, they might not care about what happens to the state downstream. Ronald Reagan, he's always been a proponent of giving the states what they can, you know, what's rightfully the state's purview. But he said that, you know, our environmental laws are one where air and water cross state boundaries is one area that just has to be federal. I mean, it can't be anything else. So, you know, if President Reagan can understand that, as a conservative, I would think other people can understand the need for that as well.
Very true, very true. All right, could you let us, I mean, I'm sure your organization has a portal, a way to contact you or get information on your efforts in this regard. Could you explain that to us real quick?
Sure. Our website is www.conservativestewards.org, O-R-G, we have information about this issue and other issues. We focus on a wide range of things, and it's all from a conservative perspective. And we have a lot of great conservative quotes from conservative leaders throughout history that sort of show you sort of the proper conservative view when it comes to thinking about conservation and stewardship.
Yeah, and we do. And regardless of which side of certain things you fall on, we do all need to be very conscious and cognizant of taking care of our world and our earth. So thank you very much. And I think we're probably over. I think they allotted me 10 minutes. I think we're past that a little bit.
Yeah, well, it's a moral responsibility that conservatives and others have recognized for a long time now, and I think we'd be wrong to get away from it.
Very good. All right. Well, again, thank you very much for your interview, and thank you for the phone call, sir.
Thank you.